This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And CISO.
Hello and welcome. Well, to be fair, this is going to be actually the least boring part of the last 24 hours.
Chaos.
So welcome to Seagull Social, season 4, episode 27. And we're joined with Ben and Maz and myself, because that's how it is again. It's Ben and Maz. And not, it's not Ben and Maz, it's Ben and Maz sat next to each other as
we can, only
as can be. How are you boys,
Ben?
I see you're
why?
On the Phantom, mate.
Yeah, it was either that or coke.
If you have to, I'm joking. Go on.
No, so basically, so we're in this room, otherwise we wouldn't have been able to film for like another couple of days. And by that point, if we'd uploaded like Thursday, we're speaking about a game on Monday, it just wouldn't have run. So even though that audio might be lacking, obviously it'll be sooner rather than later. So that's why we've done it in here at work. Staying late, aren't we, Maz?
Yeah, because we do this because we're just really dedicated to the craft. And also as well, have you noticed we're colour coordinated? We're black and white and then black and white. That's what we do.
Not on purpose.
Yeah. And we'll keep going like this.
Beautiful stuff. But yeah, no, I mean, as I said, it's going to definitely be the least boring part of the last 24 hours. Because
how was your day, Ryan?
I'm not sure about you boys, but yesterday, my day was all right, mate, to be fair. Thank you very much. I had a little shoot in London, North London to be exact, but big up Northwood.
Commiserations. Condolences, damn it. I screwed that joke up.
Yeah, spoke to some Arsenal fans. We'll see how it goes down. But yeah, we will chat about Brighton today, not Arsenal, because as I say, there's not a lot to talk about last night. I don't know about you boys, but it was probably the more boring game that we've probably witnessed in the Roberto De Zerbi side in the past year and a half. Unless you can name me one a bit more boring than that, I'd be surprised. But what's your overall take? Because it's definitely not
West Ham. West Ham the other day, the other game. That was proper boring.
True.
To be
2024
fair.
Is off to a flyer.
Yeah. Do you know how mad it is? You know, what's that expression? Is it like two buses come at once when you've been waiting? We've had two 0-0 draws on the bounce, if you exclude Stoke, obviously. So, yeah, it's been a great start to 2024, like you said, Ryan. Hopefully, clean sheet-wise is how we mean to go on.
Yes.
But not going forward.
Yeah, correct. I just also want to apologise, because I brought my family to that game. And that was like the first ever Brighton game. They were so excited, and then they had to sit through that absolute dross. But because they had never seen football before, they thought it was really exciting, and they could not believe the level of like the touch. They were like, so one of the guys was South African. And he was like, when the ball hits his foot, it's stuck to him like glue. I don't know how he does it. And I'm like, yeah, just that's the level.
Yeah, that was Pedro Neto, I think.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so I feel sorry for them, three of them. They still enjoyed it. They loved the pies. They loved the Bovril. So that was amazing.
Nice, good. I mean, yeah, as you say, the actual game itself wasn't very good. I would go into bits and pieces, but there wasn't really too many specifics to take away from the first half until half time, which is insane. I can't really tell you many shots. I think the only thing that
I think you're going to say it right. Facundo Buenanotte.
Okay, I was
going to
say the Facundo. Yeah, it's a sitter by any stretch, isn't it? I mean, it's I think 3 or 4 yards out. It's a header. Not sure. I mean, from me watching it, I haven't watched the highlights back, in fairness, but from where I was looking, in my opinion, I mean, he's got to be going with anything other than his head there, hasn't he?
I don't know. I think you could probably say that in hindsight, but I feel like, yeah, he could have done like a low diving header, but he just really, really fucked it up so badly. Which is such a shame, because that was such a big chance, probably the biggest chance of the game, really, especially for us.
I'd also argue João Pedro in the second half. I just don't understand why he didn't shoot. Yeah. And I know he had loads of players swarming him, and he's usually so cool, calm, and collected. I thought he would have that second touch he took, I thought just shoot, but he just took that extra touch and it broke down. But yeah, going back to the Bonanotte chance, I think he snatched at it kind of thing. He didn't really think it through, and it was pretty poor, wasn't it?
It's interesting João Pedro didn't shoot, because I noticed a lot yesterday, Brighton players getting quite frustrated with him, not passing, and just taking shots. For example, I think Danny Welbeck in the first half was pretty fuming at him. Mm. I think twice in the first half, and then Adam Lallana was really, really angry with him. I think he had a chance down the left, he could have cut it back, but he didn't. And Lallana, he was shouting at João Pedro, hands in the air. João Pedro, I don't think, was really taking any notice, because when a player screws up like that, normally just walk away and pretend it didn't happen. But yeah, there's a couple of times where he should have passed for sure. And I feel like that's not the only game where that's happened. Obviously, he's a young player and he likes scoring goals, and I think that's kind of his personality. But there are times where he should pass and he's not doing it. And hopefully that will change. Hopefully the experience has, like Welbeck and Lallana, will get that ingrained in his head that he should pass, rather than just constantly go for goal or take one step too many or do too many tricks, for example. Do you agree there, Ryan?
It's like I do. I think we're in a rare patch at the minute where we haven't been so far under De Zerbi, as far as I can think. I mean, it's the first time in a long time where we haven't scored in two consecutive games. As you say, it's our first couple of clean sheets this season. They come like London buses, as Maz says. But I don't know, there seems to be that killer instinct going a little bit out of the team. But I'd put it probably more down to the fact of how many injuries we've got, particularly out wide. I can name a couple of opportunities in that first half. Not to dig out Milner whatsoever, it was a record breaker for Milner, actually. I think he's now the second highest ever appearances in Premier League history, only behind Gareth Barry, who's also an ex-Brighton.
They should have mentioned it, Ryan. They mentioned it on commentary once.
Yeah, oh, did they keep going on commentary, did they? But yeah, they definitely said it in the stadium too.
Apparently Jermaine Genius kept calling JC Steele Luke Steele as well, which is great. So he should stick to Formula E, because that's obviously a sport he knows about, Jermaine Genius.
Luke Littler, Luke Steele, same thing. But yeah, no, I think Milner had a couple of things where it sort of... he's had an opportunity to put it across goal, but he's almost reacted that bit too slowly. And obviously, he's not a left winger, is he? Let's face it. So there's been a lot of opportunities, in my opinion, where, you know, that killer instinct, like you say, that you want from your João Pedros, etc. You play with what's around you, don't you, at the end of the day? I think if you have Mitoma, if you've got Ansu Fati, etc. I mean, I don't know about you boys, but Wolves came there for one thing yesterday, and they did it well, to be fair. They came there for a draw. If they could get a snatch, they could have done. I think they had a couple of opportunities maybe where they could have scored. But defensively, they were absolutely superb. I think it was Semedo, wasn't it, in the second half against João Pedro, put a great challenge in. Wolves defensively were very good.
Yeah, I thought Kilman was really good as well. I thought he put in a few good challenges. Like you mentioned, Semedo as well, who I think was, that one recovery challenge he did. I think it was it on Lamptey maybe? I'm trying to think now. But he's obviously got great pace and his recovery is great as well. So yeah, it's fair play to him. Defensively, he looked great. And do you know what? Like, I've got to give credit to them. I think they had chances to score. That, especially that Cunha one where he took it past Steele. You know, terrible touch. If he'd just done a better touch, he was in then, open goal, and he would have just slotted it away. And then Neto as well, with a good save from Steele. And then Cunha's follow-up, who skied it over the bar. Again, if Cunha had been on form yesterday and had a bit about him, they could have easily scored one or two goals, and we could have been on the back of a 2-0 defeat. So, yeah, I don't think they would have deserved it, but I think it would have been unjust. I think a draw was ultimately a fair result. But yeah, there's no reason why they couldn't have scored last night. And yeah, defensively, I thought when Estepinha came off, no disrespect to Webster, I thought he didn't have his best game. I thought he looked shaky. I think he gave the ball away a few times, and he got caught out a lot by the pace of Neto and Cunha on the break. So yeah, when Webster was on, it was not looking good, Brad.
Yeah, but I think that was, I don't know, obviously you've done it for specific reasons, but I don't think that guys, that back three was probably the best idea.
Mm.
It kind of changed the game, really. Then Wolves thought they had a better chance of scoring, and then it looked like they were going to probably nick it at some points. And when Webster came on, when Purvis came off, I kind of questioned it. But there's obviously reasons why he's come off.
And also as well, when Lamptey came on, I just don't think he got the service. Like, I thought saw a few people sort of digging him out a little bit. Lamptey saying, oh, he came on and did nothing. I was like, but he didn't really get the ball. He didn't get the service. He didn't get, you've got to give it to him. Yeah, exactly. You can't just blame him for not being able to create much when he's not given the opportunity to create. So, yeah, I found that a bit strange. And it was great to see him back as well, actually, on that note. Great to see Lamptey back playing. And hopefully he can be huge. Because like you said, Ryan, I said it as well. I remember straight after the game, I was speaking to a few mates and I was saying that was without Matoma, Adingra, Fatty and Nciso. So if we can, I know it was a 0-0 draw, but we know that those players returning and it can give us so much more firepower going forward. So it's all good signs. And I'll take a draw against Wolves, to be honest, in the form they're in.
And then going back to your main point, Ryan, that you made earlier, it's like you could tell that we weren't lacking that pace. There were times when, I think at least three times when the ball was played over the top and the last player you want on the pitch, I think the brightest jet to be running onto it is Pascal Gross because of the pace. And he was getting caught up straight away and it's just a wasted opportunity. Like if you put that over to any of the five or four players Maz just mentioned, you got a big chance of scoring there. And that's where we were lacking, that left side. Obviously, Milner's done a great job there. But that side we're lacking pace. I mean, both wingers were pretty much lacking pace the whole game. If we had a little bit of pace either side, then we probably would have scored, I imagine.
Zerbi hinted at it, didn't he, the other day? And he said it sort of again in the interview at TNT. I think it was with Jules Breach. He said a similar thing in that, we definitely do need some players. We've got injuries. They're coming back in a couple of weeks, 100%. That's great news, by the way. Fantastic news. But they're not going to be match fit. They're not going to be ready to just start. The Julio Nciso we remember at his prime, and the Ansu Fati at Ajax isn't going to happen as soon as he comes back. And Mitoma, they're going to have to take time to come back and be the best players that we know that they are. So potentially there's a case there. We've only got a week or so left in the window. I haven't really seen much happen. We could transfer speculate all we want, but there's not really much to talk about in that sense. But one thing I will just pick up on, as you mentioned,
there is one player we can talk about later. We can talk about the Serbian Udinese midfielder. I don't think we mentioned him yet. We'll talk about him later.
Yeah, can do. I don't know how reliable that is, though. But yeah,
I think it seems pretty legit.
I think.
And another one we can talk about, the Zerbi's other comments about where we'll finish. But we can, we can talk about that a bit later.
Mateus Cunha, obviously, I put a tweet on saying not sure how he's been sent off. Now, somehow the Wolves fans found that super quickly for a start. And not just me, I think they bit quite a lot. And I guess they are Wolves, aren't they? They bite. Sorry, that's awful. But I think the Cunha thing, by the way, I wasn't saying that challenge was a red card. Now, that's not what I was meaning. I don't think that's what Brighton fans are meaning. It was the reaction that followed. I don't know about you, boys, to get your thoughts on it. I think for about 5 minutes, he didn't stop going on at the ref, and I think he got a yellow anyway. And yeah, okay, fair enough, it wasn't a foul, whatever. But then I think the fact that it went on for so long, because it's happening to us, I'll let you boys chip in now. The fact it's happening to us after the dunk thing at Forest, yeah. I think we can never wipe out of our minds the whole dissent laws. And I think that's what Wolves fans, if there are Wolves fans watching this and trying to see the reaction to this, that's what annoys us. It's not about Cunha, it's not about Wolves, it's not about the challenge itself. It's the dissent thing. Because when it was dunk, it was a minute's worth of back chat and he got sent off straight red.
Not even a minute's worth.
But I'll let you guys come in there.
Seconds.
That's it, that's my point.
But yeah, it goes back to the inconsistencies with VAR and officials and PJMOL. Like, and we talk about it almost every other episode at this point. And yeah, like you said, it's just so frustrating when that's happened to us. Luckily, we got points in that game. But if we hadn't, we would have felt even more hard done by. So yeah, the fact that it's just so inconsistent. And I think what were the other controversies that happened in the Prem recently? It's like Kluivert's challenge against Liverpool, shit like that.
Wolves get a lot of them.
He just got away with it. Yeah, Wolves do. And they suffer a lot of that. We've been the top two teams that kind of suffer from PGMOL issues and apologies. So they'll know. They should know how hard done by we feel. So they shouldn't be upset about it, us being annoyed, thinking that Cunha should have got sent off or anything like that.
Yeah, I think it was also going back to your point, Ryan, about, you know, it's not about the chat. So, yeah, like you mentioned, I don't think it was a foul in the first place. I can understand Cunha's frustrations and why he reacted the way he did. However, then that reaction, like you say, if it's one rule for one player and Dunk got, like, I still can't get over that Dunk red card. Like, I can't get over it, like how ridiculous it is looking back now. Because they don't follow up. I've seen so many people do
Dan
worse.
Get the same as well.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you see other players doing worse or just the same, and they don't get punished for it. And so it's like, why have you sent off Dunk? Like, was that just was Dunk unfortunate casualty of just being the first person they wanted to do it to? I think that's what it feels like. It feels like, right, let's pick someone we lay down the law against. And Dunk, unfortunately, happens to be that casualty. And that was a frustrating thing, I think, as Brighton fans. And Cunha, I think he should have got definitely a second yellow by the way he was, you know, kept going. And even at half-time,
just didn't stop, did
he? Yeah, and even when they're walking back, he was, like, getting into the referee's face and stuff. I'm like, you can't be doing that. It wasn't a foul in the first place, but you just can't go on like that because they're the rules, apparently. So if they're the rules for Lewis Dunk and Brighton of Albion, why are they not the same for Cunha and Wolverhampton Wanderers?
Yeah, no, it's true. That's basically the Cunha point sorted. I mean, to be fair to him, in the second half, he actually did calm down and nothing really happened from there on. He should have scored, really, when he took it round, as we said. It's quite comical, really, after all of that.
And that was insane that he went for goal there, by the way.
He should have done a lot better.
He should have shot. I know, I can understand as a striker thinking, right, you're back myself in this position, but it was at such a horrendous angle and so far away as well. And then he screwed it up so bad. He didn't go anywhere near the goal, which is quite funny.
Credit to Steele as well, by the way. Like, I thought he was fantastic yesterday. Yeah. I know in that situation maybe it wasn't the best. He didn't cover himself in glory maybe in that situation itself. However, I thought...
Was it they gave him the hospital pass today?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, actually.
To be fair to him, it was a bit of a hospital pass, but also he was already dragged. And I think it was one or the other. I think if he was trying to run back, he would have put himself in more danger. The fact he ran at Cunha probably put him off a bit more. Mm. But yeah, once obviously the striker's always going to get around you in that situation, you just got to hope he doesn't score. So probably was the narrowing the angle there.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But I thought he was key. He made some really good saves. And for me, him and Gilmore were probably my man of the matches, probably.
Yeah, I think so. I think... worth mentioning, yeah, still 100%, because I think that save that sticks out to mind was that one where he sort of, I think he's dived the wrong way and he stuck out a hand in the second half. Mm. Can't remember who it was that actually put the ball across, but I thought they should have scored. I'm just trying to think who it was. But it was a good save from Steele, I know that much. Was it Neto? Someone like that. It was off the right side for Wolves. And they've scuffed the shot, I think. And he's going the wrong way and it's a good save with his hand. But yeah, still was... I think that the hate that he gets on social media drives me mental. I don't know if it's just a little bit forced now, because it's not like... I don't get it. I don't think he's done bad. I think he's really good with his feet. I get that people want Verbruggen to start, but obviously he's not ready yet. I mean, I don't see the frustration to me. I think that surely, if anyone, as a football club, we've got the best track record of knowing what to do and when to put in young players. Probably in the whole league, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years, we've gotten pretty much most decisions right. And, you know, if that's sending Barco on loan or whether that's keeping him here to learn, which it looks like it's going to happen, even if he's not playing and he needs to develop just here, I treat it as the right decision. I don't know about you boys, but I don't know what grounds anyone has at the moment to say, I disagree with that decision at the moment.
Yeah, I think we discussed it, didn't we, in the team of the season so far. We all had our own reasons why we picked. I think we all, and was it unanimous? We all picked Steele, didn't we? No.
I said Verbruggen.
Yeah. But yeah, like, we all gave our reasons, and I think we're all valid. I mean, we all have our opinions. But yeah, I obviously picked Steele in the end, and I think it's just, yeah, he's just got that little bit more experience. You know, of course he has his moments, but I think a lot of the keepers in the Premier League, apart from maybe your Alissons and your Edisons, who are the elite goalkeepers in the league, you are going to expect a few errors from your goalkeepers, especially the way we play. We play a very risky way of playing football. You saw it even last night, the passes we were making from the back. There was actually one moment I remember where Steele lumped it forward, like all the way down the pitch. And I was like, that's one of the first times I think I've seen him do that, or any Brighton goalkeeper in a long time, which was actually quite refreshing, I'll be honest. Sometimes you just got to lump it when it's in danger. But yeah, the system we play is going to be tough for goalkeepers, and especially a young goalkeeper like Verbruggen, I think, will struggle in that system if you're not used to it. It takes time. And I think, going back to your point, Ryan, yeah, I think we're very good at nurturing young players. And I think Steele is definitely the right choice right now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, I agree. And the same with Barco, as I said. It probably goes without saying. He said it already in the press conference. We don't need to go over it, but it's we're gonna keep him here. I don't know if you boys agree with it, but I don't really know why you wouldn't at the moment. As we say, it's most things we do is the right move. But go on, Ben.
Yeah, I adore him, not just because he's ginger and he's got a slit his eyebrow and cool earrings, but I just think he'd be great. Even, I don't know, even just watching that game yesterday when Purvis came off, I thought, we need a little bit of pace. Obviously, I know he's with Argentina for the pre-Olympic sort of stuff, but that would have been a really good opportunity to bring him on, even if he wasn't ready. I think just that late in the game, bringing on some pace, some skill, an unknown talent, defenders won't really know what to expect. I think the only recent case study we can go by of someone that we've kept instead of loaning out is Facundo Buenanotte, and it's definitely benefiting him. Slowly but surely, he's getting better. Probably not as quick as Enciso was, but he's definitely getting better. So, yeah, I think, yeah, maybe keeping him is the best.
Enciso we kept, didn't we?
Yeah, Enciso we kept as well. And look how that turned out. So, yeah, keeping Barker, I think, will be a very, very good decision just because he can offer so much to the team. And I imagine he's probably a bit further ahead than Facundo. I just get that vibe. I think what we heard from some of the reporters and that sort of thing, like, he's an absolute superstar. I think the only thing we got to go off with Facundo was Carlos Tevez saying he's the closest thing he's seen to Messi, but I feel like Barco is probably a bit stronger than Buenanotte, maybe. Yeah, Argentine media as well. So I think, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets in the team a lot quicker. Again, especially because of injuries. Like, we can say these five players are going to come back, but who's to say they're not going to get injured again?
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think, you know, if Barco maybe is a little bit naive, he will be. Naturally, he's 19. He's coming to England for the first time. He's going to be naive to the Premier League. He's going to be naive to English culture. It's a completely different world here to what it is over there. So, you know, I couldn't imagine at my age now going out to Argentina and living my life on my own. And I don't get me wrong, I ain't got the pay packet he's got. I wish I did, but it's still adapting regardless of all of that. So,
remember what Facundo said in his first few months. Restart.
Like exactly that's
pretty
the thing.
Harrowing stuff what he said.
So it's about, like, you know, appreciating all of that move for these young players. That's just what we do. But yeah, we'll see about Valentin. Okay, the sort of end of the game, there wasn't too much to say. We've already mentioned the João Pedro chance. I think really all that we can say is a draw probably is a fair result, although De Zerbi said that he felt like we did enough to win. I don't know if you boys would agree with him, but if
you had to say 50, well, I'd probably give it like 5% in Brighton's favour. So I'd fit 55. Well, I know what happened that way. Yeah, fit 52.25 to whatever it is on the other side, 47.2. I don't fucking know. My maths is so shit. Hence why I work at Lab Bible.
47.75.
Yeah, whatever it is. I reckon we edge it a little bit, if you could say, but I don't know. I mean, De Zerbi's going to say that, let's be honest. Although he's quite honest, obviously, from what he said on the other bit, so maybe he does think it.
I think it's one of those things, you back your players, don't you? As a manager, you want to say the right things. You don't want to be like, well, you don't want to berate them too much. And I think that if you, on the whole of it, I think a fair result was a draw, to be honest with you. I think they had their chances. We had a few chances as well. So I think, on the whole, I think a draw is definitely the right result. I think it'd be harsh to say either team deserved it more. But yeah, just deserved, I suppose, just backing his own team and making sure in the media he's portraying that positive image of being like, look, we were the better side, we were just unlucky on the day kind of vibe. But yeah, just going back to Ben's point of the 10th place finish, I thought that was quite interesting because I don't know about you boys, but I personally wouldn't be happy with 10th. I know that might sound entitled or whatever you want to call it as a Brighton fan. But I think 10th place will just put us back up. Like, it'll be two steps forward, one step back if we finish 10th, in my opinion. I think we won't be able to attract the same players we would be if we were in Europe. I think it's just detrimental to, if we want to keep progressing as a club, I think finishing 10th will just not help us, because unless we win the Europa League, we will have no European football. And will that attract the right players if we want to go to the next step? I doubt it, but I'm interested to hear
your thoughts.
I think Conference League has got to be the bare minimum. Mm, yeah. And that, again, I think we spoke about a few weeks ago. I'd absolutely love to have the Conference League. I'd bite your hand off that right now. So that would be a good one. But yeah, finishing 10th, it's a weird one, because then everyone's going to say, you've got to put it into perspective, the injuries you've had, having to deal with another competition on top of it. It's all brand new. So finishing 10th with all the player sales we had as well, 10th would be a really, really good finish. Like, if you said it at the beginning of the season, we thought, oh my God, we're screwed. We've lost the two best centre midfielders in the league. And so to be 7th right now is incredible. So yeah, people will say perspective, but at the same time, it would be disappointing not to get some European competition again. But yeah, Conference League would be incredible. I'd love that.
I think Conference League's better.
I agree with you on the point that you want to get better. If anything, it surprises me more that De Zerbi said it, just because we know what he's like, in that he always wants to go for that one extra. But maybe there is a bit of perspective to take into account. Obviously, this season, we already know all the injuries this we've had. It's been very difficult when you look at the grand scheme of it, and the fact that, as you say, we are in seventh is pretty insane, to be honest. I mean, we're what, 7 points off the Champions League spots currently? It's mad. I think if we were to get 10th but consider to keep going for the Europa League, then that's fine by me. FA Cup as well, I think, is really important this season now. So 10th,
is there a chance?
Bad at all, I think.
Is there a chance that De Zerbi saying this to kind of spur the team up, and also getting Tony Bloom's head saying, come on, let's get a couple more signings, because right now we're looking at 10th place in the Premier League. Is there a chance that he's doing that?
It's funny you say it, because I was only saying earlier to the Arsenal thing earlier, I was only saying, I think that the team, the squad that we've got at the moment, and the really harsh reality of what we're fielding at the moment is a 10th to 14th position squad. I mean, it's not an 11 or a bench that, if you were to look at it from an outsider point of view, you would say, yeah, that's 100% nailed on to be Champions League, 100% nailed on to be Europa League. I'd probably say, probably not. You know, with our best players considered, Ansu Fati, Mitoma, etc., you want to look at the higher end. But I suppose when you look at how De Zerbi's saying it, we're without them now, but it could be another 2 weeks till they come back in. We ain't going to be match sharp for another month after that. So, you know, the end of this season is difficult. So unless we do get someone in the January transfer window, as we say, there isn't long left now, and I don't think we will. So 10th, all things considered, only a couple of years ago, we'd have been on the podcast saying that's a great position for us. I think when you take Barber's quotes a couple of weeks ago, saying about the fact we had 14 years without a home, and we've only spent, I think, 10 years, in the top flight in our entire history, that's when I start to think, yeah, that's a pretty good point, isn't it? We've only been in the Premier League for, 7 years? We've only been in the top flight in our history for 10. To then start expecting us to finish in the Europa League spots every year or the Conference League spots every year is rather far-fetched. But ultimately, it depends on when and if we get our players back to full fitness.
Yeah, my only thing I'd say to that, though, is, like, if we kept having that mentality of, like, oh yeah, like 10th is a good result. I'm not saying that's what you said, but let's say there's fans out there, Brighton fans, that are, oh yeah, like 10th is a good result. Like, remember where we came from and all that kind of stuff. Like, how are you ever going to progress as a club if you're always in that mentality? I think that's what I think we need to get out of it. And maybe that's what De Zerbi's trying to, like you said earlier, Ben, maybe that's what De Zerbi's trying to do. He's trying to say to Bloom, look, if you want us to finish 10th, this is the squad I've got with, but if you want to, we want to progress and get better, I need more players and I want to be better. I just think, yeah, if we as a club have a mentality of, oh, 10th is good, isn't it? Like, we're just lucky to be in the Premier League. It's like, you're never going to get better as a football club, because you're always going to have that mentality of, we're not good enough, or we're not on the same level as the top six clubs. And mate, look, financially, historically, club size-wise, fan base-wise, we're not as big as the top six. It's just a fact. We're not We don't have that fan base. We don't have, you know, the history and all that kind of stuff. But if you ever to break that top six, you know, crew or club, you want to call it, I think you have to invest, first of all, which at the moment we're not really doing, considering how much money we've made as well in the past couple of years. And secondly, yeah, what needs to be done to progress as a football club? And I think that is qualifying for Europe, because you get the added revenue, you get the being able to attract better players, and ultimately, yeah, you then keep going into the competitions and get better and better. So, yeah, I just think it's one of those things where you keep saying, you know, not you, sorry, just people in general, just keep saying, oh, you know, we can finish 10th, it's fine. But is it fine? Like, if we want to keep getting better, that's my only thing.
It must be frustrating as well for De Zerbi. I'm sure, yeah, probably his staff as well. Like, we're seeing all of our rivals around us in the Prem. West Ham today with Calvin Phillips alone to buy. I think the buy option's 34 mil. We would never do that, obviously, but you know, our rivals are improving in this window. I know we've signed Barco and I've been wanting him for a season and a half, but like, he's not an instant impact in the first team, and that's what we seem to always be crying out for every single transfer window. Is like, we need someone to really come and kick us up the arse right now, but we don't seem to do that. And I understand why, because we buy cheaper players that are really young and super talent, and then we sell them for a lot more. But sometimes when there's an injury crisis, you need someone just to come in and fill in a blank here and now, instead of just hoping on someone that might make a, that's going to get experience in the squad. It's just, it can be frustrating, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think De Zerbi has every right to be frustrated, but I don't think 10th is detrimental. I think it's still a growth and improvement on what we've been doing. I think if it's the start,
still finish above Palace.
I'm putting into perspective of this season. That's what my thing is. I completely agree with always going for more. But I think when you're looking at the squad that we've got at this moment in time, I'm not sure how long it can go of us getting results that we're punching above our weight for. And that's me being realistic and honest. I'm just looking at the 11 and the bench. This isn't considering the players that we've got out. So, we started this season with March, Mitoma, Fati, Adingra. These players, Julio, you know, they're starting for us every single week. Last season, we had Caicedo, McAllister. We could have potentially built on that. And I think that would have put me into the perspective of Champions League this year. And that would not have been unrealistic. But I think when you've lost everything I've just said, then you're doing it with 23s. At the best of times, we're bringing on Benicio yesterday. We've got Jack Hitchelwood starting, who realistically no one really thought of this time last year. You've got a team that's so new again. And I think De Zerbi's frustrations would be probably more about that, in that his hard work of last season is almost undone in a way, because due to a lot of unforeseen circumstances, but also then due to some sales that weren't replaced. I think there's a case for both, isn't there? There's a case for you want to go for more. There's a case for you want to stabilise. And also there's a case for, when do we pull the trigger in the transfer market, if ever? Because it's a club policy, and club policies are hard to break, I suppose. But I don't know. There's still 7 or 8 days left. Do you think we're going to go for anyone in the last 7 or 8 days? I'll start with you, boys. Do you think it's going to happen?
I believe in this Samodic. No, it's not called Samodic. Is it? What's he called? The guy from Udinese.
Samardzic or something like that.
Samardzic, yeah. Let's just say that's his name. I'm confident that we might go and get him, just from the reports I saw. And he looks like a really good player. And it sounded like we were going to beat Napoli to the signing, which would have been a hell of a statement as well. For us to beat Napoli would be incredible. So I would love to get that one to come in. But then again, where I guess obviously you've got a rest, Billy Gilmore and Pascal Gross, but they're the two starters, aren't they? They're incredible. And I just want to echo what Matt said earlier. Gilmore was unbelievable. On the pitch. The improvement that he's made is phenomenal. Like one of the first names on the team sheets now. You can say that about quite a few of them, to be honest. But yeah, I'd love that centre mid. He looks like an absolute player, and he's great at football manager as well. So it must make sense that we are going to try and get him.
Just to add on to that, I to answer your question, Brian, I think, will we sign someone? I don't think so. Do I want us to sign someone? Absolutely. I think we definitely need some more reinforcements, especially if we get some more injuries, if there's you know, a fixture congestion. We've got Europa League, FA Cup potentially going down the road if we get through the next round. Like, the potential is to be playing a lot of games. So I think we need the numbers, we need the bodies, especially in a few areas where we don't have the depth that we might have in other areas, especially, you know, with Dahoud in centre midfield not playing, he doesn't even get a look in. He wasn't even in the squad last night, I don't think. So if we are going to, you know, sacrifice, like I said, Dahoud, we need the numbers in midfield. That's just one position. You look at, obviously, Barco's coming sort of as a winger / fullback, but again,
can play centre mid as well, apparently.
Okay, can play centre mid. But like, for example, right back, like, well, there's just positions that I think we need.
Yesterday, Barco isn't a winger.
Oh, wow. Okay. What was he? Left back or left wing?
Left back, I'm guessing. Yeah.
Left back.
He said left back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Well, yeah, I think we do need to reinforce. I think it's very evident. And it's strange because I know we're really good at it. And I do love the way we operate as a business, because ultimately that is what football is, unfortunately, nowadays. It is a business. And you do have to operate within FFP. We've seen Nottingham Forest and Everton obviously get heavily penalised for not abiding to the rules. However, we know we've made an incredible amount of money. Surely we can invest even a fraction of it. Let's just, you know, pick another, you know, one target which we really need, and just go out and get him, and, you know, just reinforce those positions that I've touched on. So yeah, but to answer your question, I don't think we will. I think maybe at a push we'll get one player in this window. At a push.
Yeah, I mean, would one be enough, Ben? Or do you think it's even that's probably a bit of a stretch at this point?
Well, it's definitely not enough. We said it before, didn't we? Like in the transfer episode, like what positions we needed and the priority it was. So one, definitely not enough. Getting a left back is great because we needed that cover for Purvis. A right back would be great because we know how unreliable Nanti is, despite how good he is now, the potential he did have and has. And then, yeah, another centre mid as well is probably the three. So, yeah, we've ticked off one. I doubt we'll get another right back because Lamptey's back. Mm. Will we get that centre mid from Udinese? Maybe. And I'd like that. I feel like that would be a very decent transfer. And in terms of the two players, it would be incredible talents that we're signing. But in terms of the positions we needed to fill, it wouldn't be that great. But again, we never really signed too many players in January. And those kind of holes you fill in, well, that many holes you fill will probably happen in the summer, not really in January.
And final thing, just quickly, we mentioned him a couple of times. I think with Lamptey as well, I know this is sort of away from transfers, but I think this next, what, 4 or 5 months left of the season, I think it's make or break for him at Brighton & Albion. I think if he gets injured again, or you know, he has another couple of injuries from here until the end of the season and he's just not playing, I think the club will cut ties. I think I'd want us to cut ties with him as well. I know it sounds harsh, but it's just, you can't go getting injured pretty much every other week. And I know it's not his fault, of course, you know, he's not wishing to get injured at all, but yeah, we've got to get a right back. I think that is such an important position with Veltman not being able to play every game. He's getting older, and you know, I think right back as well is a really key area for me. I think we need to definitely get someone, if it's not this window, in the summer for sure. Like I said, if Lanty stays fit, then fair play, but I don't want to be horrible, but I just can't see it happening.
Someone had to say it, and I kind of agree, which is terrible because I absolutely love the boy.
Yeah, no, I love him. Put it out there. I do love him. I really want him to do well.
It's just so sad that it's got to this point where I happen to have this conversation where it is make or break. Or I've really, really hoped that he doesn't get injured until the end of the season. Obviously, you don't have to say it.
No, I know.
I don't think anyone in the comments is going, can't believe Maz is wishing. He's got voodoo doctors or injury him again. Jesus Christ. That's why he's got so many injuries. Maz just wants him to end his career. It's really sad. Do you agree, Aaron? Do you think that is a massive, massive second half of the season for Lanty?
It is definitely massive for him. Whether the club will cut ties or not, I'm not so sure on. But I think he's definitely, for his own sake. I think
when I say cut ties, I mean sell. He's not terminate his contract.
I know. I think he's had a month. I think he had fit, and then he got injured for two. It's not a great record. But we just hope that it doesn't last, because, you know, we've had a bit of a record with these sort of players, haven't we? I think we had Vicente going back in the years. We had Will Buckley, obviously. Many we could probably name with injury records. God, at Brighton, it's mental. Yeah, CMS, another one. So it is what it is. These sort of explosive players seem to get it. You know, they're these quick off the mark. You know, that it's the Waluwar called, yeah, what player he was. Well, I say what a player he was. He loved a long shot, and if it wasn't a long shot, it probably wasn't going to be a goal. But yeah, no, what a player. But yeah, sorry, we'll move on from Luwalua. But yeah, Tarek, I hope, I really do, because that we'll always revert back to, and I always remember that lockdown period and that Newcastle game, as we always keep going back to, was magic. But I think he has had a couple of them since he's been fit again. But we just hope that those little hamstring problems don't reoccur, but we'll see. And I think similarly to Ansu Fati, obviously with his time at Barca, you know, he's going to be back in a couple of weeks. We could even be injured again. You know, he's had a bit of a record now, so you know, whether Barca will even want him back, whether he'll stay another season long loan next season, who knows. We won't be able to afford his wages and a transfer fee, that's for sure, but we'll see. Okay, well, I think that's pretty much everything covered. I'm just trying to think if I've missed anything.
We've done very well to get a 40-minute pod out of a 0-0 Wolves draw. So fair play, lads. We've smashed
it. Yeah, we have, to be fair. We have. I mean, let us know in the comments anything if you agree with the Tarek stuff, obviously transfer window. You know, De Zerbi as well, the comments he's been making about our targets. Is it maybe a little bit too much, or is it, you know, is it different for De Zerbi? I don't know. Is his body language changed a little bit in wanting a 10th place finish when normally he's the man to say he wants us to win the league? But we'll see. He normally wants to win everything he goes into, that man. So it's quite interesting, I think, for me anyway. I think there's definitely a few shots reading between the lines being fired. Certainly. But I could be wrong. But I do feel
I agree.
Changed just slightly.
I think he's definitely put a few comments in the press in the last month or so. He's put a few comments in the press, and yeah, I think he knows what he's doing. I think he's a very clever man.
A few feelers, a few soft launches.
Yeah, a few soft launches. but yeah, and hopefully it doesn't turn into anything not like nasty, because I love him as a man and as a manager. So I hope it doesn't get worse and he goes on this weird, like, you know, complex some managers go on. So fingers crossed, doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'm sure he won't. He seems like a good guy, of course, so hopefully that doesn't happen. But anyways, that's been us for the last 40 minutes. Hope you've enjoyed. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Obviously, follow everything, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you might find us on. Boys, busy your social, of course, until Sheffield United in the Cup. Yeah. God,
United.
That's mad.
Oh,
that's come around so quickly.
I'm going. I can't wait. Great.
Yeah, we'll see you. Oh, I've bottled it, mate. I just didn't. I was going to go. And I was because I'm definitely going to be missing Bramall Lane. I was like, I haven't ticked it off yet, and I thought they'll probably get relegated, but don't know. I didn't go for it. So you can call me plastic if you want in the comments as well. But yeah, you'll see you before Sheffield United, and then we've got them again in a couple of weeks' time. But yeah, we'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Peace.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.